And sure. Lord, we thank you for the commitment that Mike and Cindy have shown to your work. Lord, would you give them clarity as they share and help us to understand more their work so that we may support them better, pray for them better, and to care for them better during this time. Lord, would you be with them as they share? In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so we are very pleased to be here and to see you all.
Okay, I'm not a good porter.
I get pushed around a lot lately. We're really enjoying being back in Canada and connecting with friends and family and churches that are open and that we have opportunity to visit. So we're so happy to be here in Forest and visiting with you. We would like to thank you for your prayers and for your support. While we've been in Cambodia and while we're here in Canada, it means so much to us to have friends and family supporting us through prayer. We couldn't be there without you. It's only through God's grace and your prayers that we can do what we're doing in Cambodia. So we're so excited about that. So thank you for everything. For the last seven, I don't know, I guess it's right there. So Cambodia is between Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. It is a small country, and the capital is Phnom Penh. And we really love the people, although Mike gets really hot there and I get really cold here in Canada. We have to take turns. we're going to give you an update on what we're doing and what's been happening. But before that, I am going to give a quick update on me. So some of you have probably heard that I have broken my foot. Actually, it's an ankle on both sides. So I've broken it twice in one shot. We were in Algonquin hiking, and we had gone all the way up and come all the way down, and we were doing really good, but it had rained a few days before. So as I was coming down, I managed to slip in the mud. Being so careful with the stepping on solid rocks and roots, but I managed to somehow end up sliding down in the mud, and as I landed, it came to a stop, I heard a crack. So my ankle is broken on both sides, and I was still a little bit up on the hill. I had to slide down on my butt with my knee lifted up, and I wasn't able to get out. God blessed us amazingly during that time. I think it was 6 hours, we were there in the same spot, and somebody came along and they gave me that metal blankety thing to help keep the heat in because it was getting cold. Eventually, Mike called 911 and. As soon as we realized that I'm not getting up from this spot, Mike called 911. And they came and they brought, I think it was a sleeping bag or something, to wrap around me to keep me warm. And they put a splint boot thing on my leg to keep it solid. And so God was just amazing in the way he blessed us. So many people came to my aid. I couldn't believe it. As it was getting night and it was getting dark, we still had 3 kilometers to go to the end, and it was getting more and more difficult, and so they decided that the easiest thing to do would be to air vac me out. So I don't know what time the helicopter came, but I was in kind of like a sleeping bag, wrapped up in a sleeping bag on a bed, and I heard the helicopter came, circled around 3 times, dropped 2 people off who came, and they moved me from one bed to another that they could tie up and pull me up into the helicopter. Once they got everything set up, the helicopter came back, swooped around three times before it could find a place to kind of a holding pattern. And the third picture, you cannot see me, but the third picture is me being pulled up to the helicopter, which was the scariest thing I think I've ever had to go through. But God was so gracious in all the people that he brought to us. They were like angels looking after me. Now, I am in this big red cast, which has been 4 weeks with this. Prior to that, I had been taken to the Pembroke Hospital, where I saw a orthopedic surgeon. He straightened everything out, but it was too swollen to cast. So they put on another splint cast and sent us back to St. Catharines. They put on, they did some x-rays once we were in St. Catharines, and they said, it looks like the doctor in Pembroke did a great job setting things, but the St. Catharines Hospital was really backed up for surgery. And it was determined that they were going to need to do surgery to make sure everything stayed where it was supposed to be. So we arrived home on Friday?
Yeah.
We arrived home Friday. We went straight to the hospital, and we were told to come back on Sunday. We came back on Sunday, and I had been bumped several times, which I have a hard time being angry about because I know I've bumped other people for other things. I was just blessed that God is looking after us. And Monday morning, first thing, 8 o'clock, I was in for surgery, and they put in a plate and a couple of screws. I have a scar on each side of my ankle, and they put me in another splint cast. After 2 weeks of being in that splint cast, I got put into this great big red one. I've had this for 4 weeks, so it's been 6 weeks in total. On Tuesday, I will go back to the hospital, to the fracture clinic. And they will put on, well, they're going to take some x-rays. If everything is healing right, they will put on another cast, which will be a walking cast. So I'm hoping that means, because right now I am upstairs in Mike's parents' house and Mike is downstairs. So we live in their basement, but right now I cannot do stairs. I'm hoping once I get a walking cast, I will be able to move back downstairs and live with my husband again. So I want to thank you for all your prayers. God has been so good to us during this time. Providing the equipment that I never would have thought would be necessary, but a wheelchair and walkers and all those things that I thought I would never need to use, but yes, I need to use them. And there hasn't been a lot of cost because we've known people that are willing to lend it to us. They've had it for other parts of their family. So we've just been so blessed, and God is doing an amazing job healing me up, at least I think he is. And so I'm so excited. I imagine I'm going to have to go into physio after this. Hopefully by Christmas I will be back to normal. So thank you for that.
One moment. I'm going to do some administrative pushing around here. All right. It is so weird not to have a mask on in a church. Our church is not open in St. Catharines right now due to COVID and the restrictions of Niagara. They are not open, so that means we're on video for everything. To be in a church this morning was just amazing. And then to be here and not actually have a mask on, it's weird. So it's great to see you all, guys. We're so happy that we could be here, connect with you, visit, and tell you a little bit about what's happening in Cambodia. I'd like to show you a couple pictures here, and I'm hoping that you can see, and I'm wondering, in these pictures, what is all the same? And before you tell me, yes, they're all Asian people. I realize that. And so there's something in this picture that is all the same. Yes. They are all smiling and laughing. Absolutely. They are, have the red armbands, and that was going to be what you said too. You are correct. In every single one of these pictures, they have red armbands. Now, a red armband, let me just make sure I get my notes before I jump ahead too far. So, red armbands are basically a string. It's a string that they tie around their arm. It's a string that has significance. It's a string that has deep cultural significance. In their own words, the Khmer people would say that the strings give them good luck. But what does good luck really mean? Is it like a rabbit's foot where you have a rabbit's foot on your keys? Is it a superstition? Is it something you say, oh, good luck, way to go? Or is it something deeper? The word for good luck in Cambodia is a simple way to say that they have protection, that they will have good fortune, or that they have appeased the spirits. In Khmer, every month, a non-Christian Khmer person, they'll go, and they'll go to the Wat or the temple, and they'll take a portion of salary, and they'll spend it in order to receive good luck. They'll give the appropriate offerings to the monks or to Buddha. They will honor the ancestors and feed them with incense. On the holy nights of Phnom Penh, they will clean their house, turn on every single light, and then they will set off fireworks inside their house, which is a bit scary. It's a little bit weird, but to scare away the spirits, the evil or the unkind spirits from their abode. The next day, they'll put food out to feed and welcome the spirits and invite a monk, please come. Please pray for our house. Please bless our house. Please tie red strings, around the banister, the door, around anything that the spirits could get in, the windows. They're so nervous. They do all this to receive good luck and good fortune. They believe that is all they need to do. And so they're covered. When they're inside the house, they will have good luck and good fortune. But what happens if they leave? What happens if they have to go to work or to school? Oh, so that means they go to the Wat again, and they'll be greeted by a monk who will take an offering. Who will take an offering, and they'll receive the offering, and they'll tie a string around their arm. They'll sprinkle them with water, and they'll say a blessing over them. Now they're protected. Finally, they can leave their house in safety. But what if you have a car or a moto? Motorcycle for Canadians, but moto for Khmer people because it's shorter. What if you have one of those? Well, you bring it to the monk, and he ties a red string around the handlebars or around the mirrors or around the portions of the car. You have kids? Oh, no. Kids are crazy. They'll go running around all over the place. You better bring them to the Wat to tie a red string around their arm too. But what if this isn't enough? What happens if the red string happens to fall off? When is enough just simply not good enough to protect you? I've met Khmer people who've been working. I've been teaching them or working with them, and all of a sudden, the red string wears off. It's just string. It will wear off. It will go away. And they freeze. They're shocked. They're petrified of what's going to happen. They'll stop what they're doing and just be filled with worry and concern and safety and their well-being until they can get to the Wat in order to have it replaced, to make that offering. They're being held hostage by the fear that misfortune will occur. And if anything does go wrong, let's say they have the string on and something goes wrong, it's obvious that they haven't done enough, that they need to do more. So they'll go to the Wat. They'll offer another sacrifice. They'll get another red string put on. As someone comes to believe in Jesus, they will stop worrying about the good fortune and good luck of the strings and realize they simply don't need them, which is awesome to say. We have a guy in our church. We call him Honey, as in honey, like the stuff you get from bees. It's a long story, which I'm not going to go into right now. He's a great guy, wonderful fellow. And he goes through, I think I have a picture of him. There he is. He's a great guy, has a beautiful wife, a loving family. He serves in the church. He works at a hotel, in one of the biggest hotels in Siem Reap. He earns a good wage. Not extravagant, but enough to cover the food and all his living that he would need, like gas for the moto, the occasional day out, stuff like that. His wife, which I don't have a picture of, she works at a cell phone company, and she sells phones on commission. And the money she receives and her salary goes directly towards her family, her extended family, which is Cambodian culture. You take care of your family first. So the grandma, the grandpa don't have a job. The grandkids will provide money for them. Parents, again, will provide money for them. April, COVID hit. COVID hit and it closed the hotels, closed the cell phone shops, it closed everything. Overnight, instantly, everything and everywhere was closed. Here we had CERB. It was great. It was amazing. People were able to collect money if they had lost their job. In Cambodia, there was nothing. No government assistance. No severance. What are they supposed to do? Well, it left them in a deep financial mess. Simply, they didn't have money to survive. Their parents came to them and said, you know what? Yeah, we know there's a pandemic. They know there's a virus. But you must have done something as a Christ follower to anger the spirits. Recant. Give up Jesus. Jesus isn't helping you right now. They were angry. They were angry that they would have followed Jesus and that they would have lost their income. If they've been doing, going to the monks seeking protection, they would have been able to keep their job, simply said. Their parents begged and pleaded with them. Recant. Oh, I said that right. Go to make things right. Why don't you burn incense to feed your spirits, feed the spirits? Why aren't you following family tradition? Why don't you make an offering at the temple? Get the protection of the spirits. To get the red armbands. So you have protection. This was hard for them. Over the next few months, they struggled selling their motos and almost everything else that wasn't nailed down. So they can make a little extra money to support themselves and feed themselves and their extended family. However, they remained firm. They remained firm that Jesus was stronger than the spirits, that he was stronger than the virus, and this was his will. And God was faithful. Although Cambodia is still mostly closed and have just had a little bit of a hiccup there with that, they have been able to find jobs. They have been able to find a job, actually in another cell phone company, selling cell phones with a salary, no longer commission. And they are able to give all the praise to Jesus. Their testimony is a story of protection that has left the family, the ones who are saying, abandon Jesus, brought them around. And now they're starting to question what they believe. And some actually are starting to attend church and starting to believe things about Jesus. As a Khmer person begins to believe more and more in Jesus, they begin to realize that they no longer need the protection of the spirits. The day of having your string cut is a day of rejoicing. It's a day of just absolute rejoicing as people see that that person has turned away from the protection of the spirits and is relying on Jesus alone. There's hope when you see the strings cut and the strings are discarded. They are now the garbage that they are. They're thrown on the ground, just tossed away. They're no longer bound by these strings. One of the things that happens just before the final baptismal class, before everyone gets baptized, the Khmer people come up and they'll roll up their sleeves and wear long sleeves and they'll show their wrists to say, I am free from the strings. I am trusting in Jesus alone. They are no longer relying on the spirits, but they put their full faith in Jesus Christ. For Honey and his wife, it has been a year of struggle. For in Cambodian culture, it is very family-centric. Family always comes first. I've said a couple times that they fed their extended family. I gave you examples of that. And that is exactly what happens. When the family says, you should do this, it isn't a, no, I'm independent, I don't want to do that. It's, the family said that, you should be doing that. And they went against the family. It's been a hard year for them. But they stood and stayed true to Jesus. That is just one of the stories of God's grace through everything, evident through this time of unknown. Over the last few months, we've been praying and asking God, what are we supposed to do? Previously, our ministry was in Siem Reap. Cindy was teaching a small school there, teaching English, making connections, telling people about Jesus. The youth, the college students that would come by, we were having little Bible studies there, stuff like that. I was touring with one of the local pastors to the far and distant provinces and helping and encouraging and supporting pastors who didn't have the support structure available to them. So what are we supposed to do? What was God calling us to do? We felt that God was asking us to change. And asking us what we should redo in our return to Cambodia. So in consultation with the local church and the pastors there, as well as our teammates, we started saying, hey, what options are available? We could go back to what we were doing, absolutely. But we're feeling that God is calling us to something else. But we don't know what that is. So we prayed about a lot, and one of the local pastors came up to us and said, you know what we need? We need someone who will be able to work in the local Bible school there to assist us learn transferable skills. And we're like, what? What do you mean? And basically what that means is the local church has a number of students the local Bible school has a number of students who are coming through the school. When they leave Bible school, that's great. Congratulations. They are now considered pastors. And they're sent back to their home village. Wonderful. Great. But Khmer people, or Khmer culture, has them being bivocational, which means that they're not necessarily earning a wage from the school, not earning a wage from the church. They're not earning a wage from offering. They have to earn their wage themselves. So using the parable, giving a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, You'll teach them for a lifetime. You'll feed them for a lifetime, sorry. You'll feed them for a lifetime. Cindy will be focusing on simply teaching English to pastors. And then teaching the teachers how to teach. And I will be focused on teaching computers at the start of the process. And then as it continues on, I will be going and leaving and working with the teachers, with the students, as they become pastors, and helping them open up an English school and an English or and a computer school in their home province, in a place of ministry. This will allow a biblical teaching that to be brought to the small villages and provide a church, and provide a place in the local community where they can come, they can visit, they can connect, but that God has talked about. So what does this mean for us? Well, first off, it's allow us to continue to support, encourage, empower, and embolden the local church. And that's our primary goal. We want to have the church be as strong as they can. And by us teaching English, as silly as it sounds, we allow the church to be strong because they can raise their own salary. They can do their own thing. And they can teach the Bible without the restrictions of finances. Secondly, it will mean a lot less travel for me, meaning I won't be going out 4 or 5 days a week, but maybe once or twice a week, which is awesome. But it also allows me to connect with the local church. And like I said before, support and encourage them. God is working in Cambodia. It's awesome to see. It's amazing to see what God is doing and how the local church is being used in the local community. With these little schools, they become almost like a place where people can meet and gather. And they have like community meetings, and then they'll talk about Jesus or maybe have Bible studies there. It's amazing. As you think about us, there are simply too many things to mention when you talk about prayer. But we have a couple that we like to ask you for. First, as we seek God's will for our lives of ministry, that we would clearly hear God's plan for us. Our return to Cambodia, Lord willing, will be May 2021. But there are a lot of details that need to be done before that happens. Not beyond the issue of COVID, there is travel, there is opening up of borders, making sure everything's available, a place for us to live, visas, all this stuff. But we know that God's in control. Many of these unknowns won't be determined until mid to late April. So this isn't something that will be, hey, we got everything done by Christmas. So this will be an ongoing concern for us as we try to figure out what we're going to be doing and where we're going to be doing it. Secondly, the economic situation in Cambodia has been devastated with COVID, as well as a huge amount of flooding that's occurred throughout the northern regions. I can't speak. There, they have had over, last report I heard was 75,000 homes had been completely demolished. And they expect the rice crop for this coming year just to be non-existent. This is huge. Rice is the main thing that they do. And now it's taken from them. Families that used to live on $1 a day or maybe 50 cents a day now have nothing, because a lot of jobs are not available to them. As a team, we are coming alongside the local church to provide emergency food and relief. But we are not believing that any of the things in Cambodia will return to normal until mid to late 2021, if then. And that's simply because the rice takes that long to grow before they're able to collect a wage on it. But God's in control. And this is all in his timing. We know that. 2020 has been a year beyond records. But it's God's year. And so we know that he's in control. But we ask you to pray for local church as they undertake this process. Because this is new ground for them. A lot of them haven't done food relief. They've done pastoring and teaching. In Cambodia, it's really easy to see who is and who is not a Christian. Just look at the wrist. Your eyes, as a person living there, a foreigner living there, as I greet people, I always just glance. It's like a single person looking for a bride. He looks to see if they have the ring. Or groom, I guess it matters as well. I'm a guy, so. It's something you just check. You know what level you're talking to. In North America, we don't wear red strings on our wrists. We still seek protection. We still seek good fortune in other ways. So I'll leave you with this thought and ask you, what is your red string? Where are you relying on yourself and not God? And are you willing to cut the red string and discard it for him? I was talking to Pastor Tyler as he arrived here and said, I'm not a very long-winded person. Which is good and bad. But I'd like to invite Cindy to come back up. And we'd like to ask if there are any questions or things that need clarification. Because we live in this situation or in this culture a lot. So things that happen, we might miss or gloss over details that you might be confused by. So please, are there any questions? Yes.
Do you work for any particular agency or
over 10 bodies? Yes. So we work with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we are licensed through them. They are our sending agency. And we have been with them for
7-8 years.
What's cool about them is they do provide us a salary. So all our salary comes directly from the church, the Christian Missionary Alliance. However, money that we raise goes directly to ministry. So we are able to put funds that come directly into us, in for us, directly to our ministry and work in Cambodia.
Oh. The salary that we get is to cover the living costs that are required. Renting a house, we can't buy property in Cambodia, but it allows us to rent a house, buy food and clothing if we need it. And that's the basic salary that we get. I think it's stipend would be the word.
So, excellent question. Yes? We don't believe so. So originally we were in Siem Reap. Let me rephrase the statement. We were in Phnom Penh. We were asked to move to Siem Reap to do ministry up there. And it appears that we will be returning to Phnom Penh, to the capital city, to do work there again with arms and legs stretched out to the provinces up in that area. So, yes. Yes. Officially, no. officially, no. There's enough people that have the bands where they'll fall off, that they haven't replaced them, that they won't initially have an issue with that. They will over time if you don't fall in line with the Buddhist way, the animistic way of belief, that there'll ultimately be problems. And yes, they might face persecution. They won't be persecution that will close or necessarily have them put in jail, but it might be mean a loss of job or a lower standing in their position. Very good question. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I have two questions.
Okay. not normally. So the question was, would other people be outside of family harass them if they did not have the red band on? And I'm going to say no, because there's enough foreigners around or are people that might not have the red band. As was asked, they will face a little bit of persecution, but it won't eliminate their position. They won't be put in jail for it. They might not get as good a service or a higher position because of it. So. Well, you're exactly right. Missions is changing, and that's the best way to say it. We were brought home a little bit early, probably about 4 or 5 months earlier than we were expecting, because they figured if they didn't bring us home now, we might not get home till they didn't know when. At that time, they weren't sure what was happening. The question was, with the borders being closed, what is the next steps? I'm paraphrasing very badly. And like I said, missions is changing. Internet is becoming more and more used. Already we've talked about with Cindy teaching the teachers how to teach and teach in English. She probably will be starting some of that come January. We have that arranged already where she's going to be connecting with some of the schools in the more northern regions where they need these people to come by and actually connecting. They have cell phone service there. And internet is way, way cheaper on your cell phone. So you just use the 3G or the 4G, and you're good. And you can have Zoom, you can have Facebook, you can have all the stuff available to you. Now, that doesn't take away from the face-to-face visits, because Zoom and Messenger and all those are very, you don't see the emotion as much. But it is a good way to start.
Having the schools and the churches all closed has opened up. God has been able to use the closing of the churches. They have been limited to, I think it was 10 people at the churches. Except a lot of people in Cambodia have great big speakers. And so the services were then put on the internet, and they were broadcasted around the villages and the towns and the cities. And so people who normally wouldn't darken the door, they've got a red band on their hand, they're too scared to go to the church, they're not interested in that, or they've just never had an opportunity to hear about it. All of a sudden, their neighbor or someone down the street is blasting the message of God. And so people who haven't heard about Jesus, haven't heard about salvation, haven't heard about the freedom that they can have, are now hearing it. So God is using even this time of fright and this time of horror where people are not working, they're having problems finding food for their family. They're hearing about Jesus. They're hearing about the salvation. And God is working in amazing ways. So.
Yeah. So like I said, missions is changing. And there's still a need. There's definitely still a need. But as things are closed, we're relying on the local church and supporting and encouraging the local church, especially in Cambodia, where the church is, it's not strong, but it's getting stronger. And there are some strong, very strong people there that we have daily communication with. It's just encouraging them to keep on keeping on. So, excellent question. Yes. Yes, well, there are a couple tribal languages, but the main language is Khmer, which we speak, without asking, completely fluently. we speak enough that we can go to the market, we can do preaching in it, we can do talking, we can do teaching in Khmer. Some of the technical language or some of the high Khmer, which would be the like extreme religious words, we struggle to speak, but we do hear it and we can respond in the lesser language, and that's allowed. But the language, English, is the language of commerce as well as the language of just trade. So having English, I'm reading into your question, so having English being taught in the areas is hugely beneficial because it allows them to come and, or the students to come and to learn something that they can use later on to get a good job, to get a good career, to get more money for the family, and just to continue on the process of life. So, and oh yes, Cambodia is very tourist-based. I thought I had that. Cambodia has two industries, just 2 seconds. I saw three hands. They have tourism and they have manufacturing. T-shirts, shirts. Most of what I'm wearing today comes from Cambodia, ultimately. I saw that hand and that hand. So we'll go that way. A lot come from China. A lot come from Europe and then North America. Probably about half of them come from North America right now. Well, pre-COVID. Yeah, good question. I think you were next. Do you have a question? No, sorry. Oh, sorry. I saw a hand.
That young man is now Christian.
Yep.
And his grandparents are the old, like, Buddhist.
Yep.
Is there any conflict in that?
Yes. I was going to say no, but yes is... Because he's not following the family way of things. Every time there's a religious holiday, which Cambodia has the most, I think there's 32 religious holidays a year. Every time there's a religious holiday, you're supposed to go to the temple, to the Wat, in order to offer a sacrifice to the spirits. Every time they go, he will go with them, but he will not be praying to Buddha. He'll be praying to Jesus for his family. He'll go to maintain the family relationship and connection, but he will not be making the sacrifices. So there's that bone of contention. A lot of times the people who are Christ followers, will be blamed for every single thing that goes wrong. So if something goes wrong in your house, whether someone has a car accident, a dog is killed, they lose like some money, it's that person's fault because they are a Christ follower. So there will be some persecution, but it's more in the blame and the in that way. Okay? Did you have another question? No, I thought I saw a hand. So I.
On the English thing.
Yes.
Every child required to learn English in that culture?
No. They are encouraged to go to school, and most of the books, as they get higher up in school, they're all English, and so they can read and they can write English. They cannot necessarily speak it. And they don't always understand it. Mike went to a hotel or a restaurant or something, and he asked the person, a Khmer person, for something in the Cambodian language. And the guy looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, I don't speak English." And Mike said, "Oh, do you speak Khmer? Because I'm speaking Khmer." And so it was just this, you're white, you're not belonging in this country, therefore you cannot speak the language. And it was kind of like they don't expect it of us, but it is something they want because Cambodia is so based on tourism, being able to have that quality being able to have that qualification opens up a lot of opportunities. Whether it's a restaurant or a hotel or the grocery store, it just opens up a lot of opportunities that they normally wouldn't have. And so I started with some younger children, and they have a really hard time because they haven't started the reading and writing. Like, the primary schools don't start with the reading and writing right away. Kind of as they get older, once they hit high school and university, they really want to have that skill because they know it will help them in their future career and help them to support their family.
Is there any other questions? I'm not seeing any hands. Well, if there are any questions, you can feel free to email us or talk to us after the service. And again, we just want to thank you so much for allowing us to come to visit, to connect with you guys. We consider Forest Baptist our church home. And we're excited to be here, able to talk to you guys, and just share some of the story of what we're seeing happening in Cambodia. So thank you, and I'll turn it over...